One of the songs we sang came right from Isaiah chapter 6. The beginning of that chapter is, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And the song goes on to say, "And the whole world is full of his glory." And it hit me as we sang that song. That's what we're all working towards. If you're part of the church, if you're part of God's family, then what we are actually working towards is that the whole world would be full of his glory, and that the people would understand that and be offering their honor and praise and become part of the glory given back to God. That's our calling. As sons and daughters of the King, to help the whole world understand his glory. If you brought a Bible, grab it and open it to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you don't have one and you want to grab the Pew Bible, that's fine. If we go back one slide, I believe. Because Romans 12 is a new start in that book. Chapters 1 through 11, Paul is exploring and explaining a number of core truths of the Christian faith. And as we get to chapter 12, it's as if Paul asks the question, what should believers do in response to all God has done for us? Romans 1 through 11 is what God has done for us. Romans 12 starts to answer the question, what should we do in response to that? And here's how Paul opens his answer. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As Christ followers, what should we be doing in response to all God has done for us in Christ? We need to be offering our lives to God. And we need to be renewing our minds in God. Offering our lives to God. Paul wrote it like this, "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord." Now, we tend to get all kinds of spiritual at times. But when God says to offer our lives to him, he really means do something. So the question I pose to you is, what are you doing to offer your life to God? What are you doing so that the whole world will be filled with God's glory? What are you doing to see life change in people so that they can join the chorus of people who are praising God and thanking God for the gift of Jesus? How are you offering your life to God? We're at the end of a year that we called a radical experiment, and we invited people in the church to give themselves to five things. to pray for all the countries of the world, to read the entire Bible, to give sacrificially to something of the Lord, to spend time outside their comfort zone serving God, and then to help the church become a discipling community near and far. And people have had all kinds of responses, and we've been kind of giving testimonies of this throughout this month of August. And I'm going to invite our next testimonier to come forward. So Lisa, if you would come up. Charlie, Carla, Lisa, Nancy, Janae, and McKay just spent between 1 and 2 weeks down in North Carolina. Lisa was part of the crew that was there for 2 weeks, and she'll share part of her story.
It's going to be, I got kind of emotional during worship, so it's not a great way to start, but so I'm going to try this. This song, Here in Your Presence, just kind of like, you know, it's wonderful, you know, beautiful counselor, just to imagine God like that. So I'm going to be speaking. I have a PowerPoint that's going to be scrolling in the background, kind of about our radical adventure. Nancy and I arrived home a week ago yesterday after spending 12 days in North Carolina working with PRMI Ministries during their With the Wind camp for young adults and Upward Challenge camp for high school students. Our position down there was to do intercession, which is praying for leaders, musicians, campers, and teachers. We then also set up prayer appointments and prayed for individuals as they felt when they needed prayer. A while back, PCOG offered a course here called Dunamis, which is also offered by PRMI, which is some of the best teaching out there on the working in the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work that Jesus has called us to do with a scriptural framework to give us a great foundation. Upward Challenge and With the Wind are mini Dunamis courses taught in a camp setting in the mountains of North Carolina. These camps were on the healing ministry of Christ. Upward Challenge was called First Responders, and I wore my t-shirt today that was given out. Both camps had the same content, but the young adults' material was a bit deeper. The material covered ways in which we are affected in the world because of past generations, sin, unforgiveness, and the list goes on. These camps are simply a group of young people who have gathered together to learn and how to love and to follow Jesus in a deeper and more radical way, which follows our call that Bill has set us upon to live radical lives. PRMI's goal is to train these kids to hear his voice, feel his touch, know his power, and to see his kingdom among us, and then seeking to be a kingdom community. The best explanation of both camps' premises was written in the material that was given to the campers. And it said that as a result of what Christ did on the cross and his resurrection, the kingdom of God is now in the process of reclaiming areas of brokenness. For some reason, God's plan includes us to complete the reconciliation. We act as first responders for God. Our assignment is to be messengers of his truth. The message is health, healing, and restoration. Starting with our relationship with God, the healing flows into all areas of our life. As we grow in our relationship with Christ through sanctification and seek to do his will, we will heal more and more of the brokenness in our own lives and lead us to help heal the pain and brokenness in the hearts and bodies of those around us. We will act not as God, but as part of his first responder team. That's why I thought it was so important to wear my t-shirt today. One of the scriptures that came to Nancy and I while we were down there and doing ministry with people was 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Nancy and I have been on the other side of healing ministry, and so that's kind of how we have come out of that to, you know, to go and do that for other people. Over the course of 12 days, 20 individuals, adults and campers, responded to the message of healing and restoration and came for prayer appointments. One example was a situation that began to unfold on the last night of camp. A boy 12 years old was hiding under a table in a room where our worship and teaching takes place, which in the pictures is the back porch. I asked one of the male leaders to check in with him and see if he was okay. And the boy's response was, "I just want my sister back." So it was during that time I began to wonder what was going on. Following that, we had a worship and then a time where the leaders were going to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower the kids to do the work that Jesus was calling them to do. Nancy stayed on the back porch with the leaders as they set up, and I went out with the kids. During that time, a visitor who was a pastor stopped by the camp. We have a code word at the camp called purpling, and it's when boys and girls come together in a way that's not appropriate for the camp. And fortunately, this year, we didn't have any of that. The year before, we had a little bit of that. He pointed out a boy who had his arm around a girl, and I said to him that I didn't think this was the case here, but I would go check it out. The boy was trying to comfort the girl because he sensed something was going on. During this time, I found Sarah, who was upset. Sarah's not her real name. And she wouldn't tell me why. It was at this point that I figured God wanted to work in her. However, I couldn't get her to tell me what was going on. I eventually called Nancy over when she was done on the back porch, and we just couldn't seem to get anywhere with her, so we finally left her alone. However, God does not want to leave us within our brokenness, but wants to bring restoration. God did not want to leave Sarah the way that she had come into camp. I went back over to tell Sarah good night and to tell her that God loved her, and that's when Sarah agreed to come for prayer. Prior to that, she had been told us that for 11 years she had lived with her problem and she could continue to do so. I videotaped her testimony, which was given the following day when she stood up in front of the entire camp, but the audio didn't work very well, and so we decided not to play it this morning. So I wrote out Sarah's words from that testimony. I came here Monday, and I had a really hard time trusting people or if God was even here or real. I grew up in a Christian household and went to church every Sunday. I was involved in stuff, but it never really seemed to connect. I was in a public school up until sixth grade, and I was constantly bullied in school and at home by the neighbors. I had never come to terms with that. On Wednesday, the teaching was on dwelling on your past and how that can really affect you. And the fact is, I had never really gotten over what had happened in school. That night, I just sat there and tried to listen and talk to God and tried to hear him tell me something. And here's what God said. I love you, and I'm here for you, and I have been here the whole time. And so that was life-changing. On the last night, I spoke with Lisa and Nancy, and they helped me to work through all of my bondage and took me to a place where I could build a relationship with God. But it was really hard. I ended up forgiving everybody and myself for letting it hurt me and making it my fault. When I spoke with Sarah to ask her if we could use the testimony this morning, this was her response. I want to take a moment to thank you and Miss Nancy for praying with me and helping me to work through my issues. I believe talking about it helped me a whole lot more than I expected it would. I do feel differently since prayer ministry. I guess I feel less angry with people. Even though I occasionally still want my space, I feel happier when I spend time with my family and friends. And it kind of brings me back to the little 12-year-old boy that was hiding under the table. This was his sister. And so my prayer is that hopefully this restoration that she went through will give his sister back like he wanted. The image one of the teachers used during the teaching was of a beach ball and water and how we try to push everything down. However, God wants to bring the stuff to the surface and restore it. When we keep issues in the darkness, it hurts our relationship with God and it causes blocks. What God did with Sarah is remove those blocks so that she could be free and to be able to experience the wholeness in Christ that we all need. 98% of prayer ministry is just showing up. God is faithful to do the rest. I continue to be humbled that God uses us to bring life and healing to others. This is just a bit of my radical adventure. And I want to thank you all for praying for us while we were down there, because we could not do ministry down there without your prayers. Thank you.
So we offer our lives to God. Where will God take us? Paul's imagery is obviously one of, you know, the sacrificial system. He uses the word body, but he means that we offer our lives to God. Did you catch her t-shirt? Maybe you couldn't see it from there. Notice the words on the bottom from Isaiah 6, which we sang portions of. Here I am, send me. My challenge to each of us is to sincerely pray that five-word prayer. Here I am, send me. When we voluntarily give our lives, our time, our talents, our resources, and lay them at God's disposal, He'll use them. He's not going to let them go to waste. We give ourselves to God. We offer ourselves to God by giving our lives away. Here I am, God. Use me. Here is my money and my resources, God. Use them. Here's my time. Use it. Here's my abilities, my gifts. They may be spiritual gifts, they may be worldly gifts, they may be, you know, the things we've learned in the world. It doesn't matter. God doesn't compartmentalize us. He says, what do you have to offer? Will you offer it to me? You know, as we've had these different people give their testimonies, it comes down to people saying, yes, God, I'll go. I'll go to North Carolina. I'll camp out in the woods. I'll hear the bears rustling in the trees. And that really is an issue down there. So that I can teach young people. I can pray for young people. There was a woman at that camp who came solely to cook for all the people. Here I am, God. Use me. Here's my wallet, God. Use it. Support the church. Support causes that touch your heart. I should have brought my phone. I left it there. Here's my time. How do you want to use it, God? What Paul is asking us to do is to make a conscious, sacrificial offering of ourselves to God. Maybe going internationally isn't your deal right now. Maybe going to a place like North Carolina can't fit your present life circumstances. But there's got to be a way to offer yourselves to God. My friend Kevin Chow, who I think might be even teaching Sunday school today, he was here in worship, next slide, works with Young Life. Check this out. They have a leaders' weekend coming up the end of this month. You don't need any Young Life background. But maybe if God is saying, hey, maybe working with high schoolers and in a Young Life, or frankly, if you go there in a church setting, would be a way you could offer yourself to Him. Here's a perfect way. Go away for a weekend. Learn some things from people who know how to reach kids. And maybe that becomes your offering. There's a billion ways to offer ourselves to God. Sometimes we're just too picky. Oh, that's not me. That's not me. Something is you. Offer your bodies, Paul says, as living sacrifices. And then he goes on to say, the second part is to renew our minds in God. And I don't have time to explore all of that. But I simply want to read the words. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. J.B. Phillips has a great translation of that verse. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. By the way, it is spelled correctly. He's British. But let God remold your minds from within. The world is screaming at us to be like me. Wear the clothes I wear, drive the cars I wear, use your time like this, eat at the places we eat, you know, do this, do that. The world is screaming in every kind of media. But God says, hey, don't let it squeeze you into its mold. Let God remold you from the inside. Let God work on you. Spend time in His Word. If you don't like to read, get an audio Bible and just let it fill your mind so that it challenges what the world says is what life is all about. And let's hear what God says life is all about. And J.B. Phillips is probably my favorite, you know, single translation of that verse. But Eugene Peterson has a great one too. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And again, Peterson catches it. It's not that the world is all bad. It's when we simply adopt the ways of the world without thinking, without running them through a God grid. That's what Paul's talking about. And so I challenge you to offer your lives to God and to renew your minds in God. Janae and McKay went to Upward Challenge as well. In fact, Janae went for both weeks where she led in worship. McKay went for the second week where she was a student leader. The first time she was pressed out of the, oh, I'm just going to attend and have fun. And she found herself in a leadership role. Talk about being stretched. Talk about being moved from your comfort zone. Well, McKay couldn't be here. Janae couldn't be here. But we have a video of their testimony. Just two quick challenges from that. First, pray for McKay. Did you hear the piece? She's been asked to lead a club at the high school. And if I remember the story correctly, a teacher came up and asked if she would lead that. And it was a real challenge. Should I or shouldn't I, you know? So the first challenge is to pray for her as she steps out doing that. See, it's all about the stepping out. Janae's right. God often shows us one or two little lights, and then the question is, are we going to take that first step? Too many people sit and say, God, what do you want me to do? When the reality is, if you took that first step and started doing something, if that's not exactly what God wants you to do, He'll move you around to where He wants you to be. But the worst place is to simply be seated and not moving at all. Offer your lives to God. Renew your minds in God. Let's pray. God, thank you for the message brought to us by Lisa and Janae and McKay and the Apostle Paul in your word. And Lord, as we learn to step out and live faith, not just think faith, I pray that you would lead us. And when necessary, Lord, kick us out of the nest so we have to start following. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.